Greetings. I always love beginning new series. This one is called Camera Roll. I've been working on this for a couple of weeks. And as I mentioned last week, I believe this one started during my Easter sermon. I talked about a picture that I took. And I went home that afternoon, scrolled through my camera roll on my phone, grabbed about 10, 12 pictures, and said, ooh, these would make great sermons. And I narrowed it down to the top five pictures, although I might intersperse a couple other pictures as well throughout, because this is a sermon series about pictures, so the more you have, the better it is. And I realized, as I was looking through my camera roll, I guess I just had a great idea. I could do like a drinking game. Every time I say camera roll, do a shot, all right? How's that? Because the bar is open. So, you know. Got to keep it lively here. It's just like I get these random thoughts in my head I think are funny, and then I'd laugh, and so I look crazy up here, so I have to share it. Otherwise, maybe next video we'll have to work that in. So I realized as I was looking through these pictures, like, oh my goodness, throughout however many years, I mean, because these pictures go back years, not just a couple of weeks or months, I've noticed that God has been speaking to me through all these pictures. And maybe in the moment, I didn't realize it, but I took the picture for a reason, because there was something about what was happening in my life. There was something in the moment that God was trying to say something. The Spirit was at work, and I was maybe moving slow enough, or I just wanted to take a picture of something. But as I look back, I realize there's so much wisdom in these pictures. And that's what I want to talk about over the next couple of weeks. There'll be five sermons in this series, and it's wisdom found in pictures. And so to begin, in case you're taking notes, here's the outline for us today. I want to talk about Bruce Springsteen, peacocks, shadow boxing, elephants, and the hotel incident. All right, we all tracking so far. We shall begin with Bruce Springsteen, of course, which I just found out, 2023, he'll be touring again with the E Street Band. Just signed up last night as a verified fan to hopefully get my tickets, but I guess it's like a lottery system, so there's still no guarantee that you're going to actually get tickets, but I, fingers crossed, that I'll, I've never seen him before live in concert, so I'm hopeful that I'll be able to next year. Now, I ran across this article in AARP magazine, which I regularly read. Bruce Springsteen was on the cover. He was being interviewed, and the interviewer asked him, he said, well, Bruce, how do you stay inspired? You've been doing this for so many years. Your music is legendary. How do you stay so inspired? And here's what he said. Well, you have your antenna out. You're just walking through the world, and you're picking up these signals. He says, my antenna is picking up so much information. He's walking through the world, and there's all these signals out there, and his antenna, he's picking it all up, and then he's finding a way to catalog it and then to put it into words. Now, if we go one more slide here. See, this is my starting belief for this series. The signals are out there. The Spirit is always speaking in every single moment. The Spirit is loud, well, quiet and loud, but always there. The question really is, are we moving slow enough? Are we paying attention to what the Spirit is speaking? There's a great story I love early on in the Bible. A man by the name of Moses, he's walking through the wilderness, through the desert. He notices that there is a burning bush as he's walking his little path. He stops and he pays attention. Then he hears God's voice speaking, hey, I'm over here in the bush. Why don't you come a little bit closer? Here's the thing. And I learned this during seminary, which I thought was absolutely fascinating because it gave so much more meaning to this story. Bushes go up in flames all the time in the desert. So the fact that he was passing a burning bush, that wasn't the abnormal thing. The fact is, Moses was actually moving slow enough. He was paying close enough attention to all that was happening that he was able to discern that God was in this burning bush speaking to him. I believe we are passing burning bushes all the time in life. Sometimes things just seem so ordinary, so normal, right? You go about your routine. You wake up, you do what you normally do, you brush your teeth, you go to bed. with a couple things obviously in between there, hopefully, of course. Hopefully you don't wake up, brush your teeth, and go right back to bed. Some days you might want to do that, and I totally get that because there's days like that, right? Are there not? But the truth is, life is, it's simply a lot of routines. It's a lot of ordinary, normal. Are we moving? Are we intentional enough in those normal moments? Are we paying close enough attention to all that's happening around us, to the signals that are clearly out there, that we're able to discern the wisdom in each moment, the wisdom that the Spirit is attempting to impart to you? Now, another question. This is going to be, there's going to be a whole bunch of questions for us here this morning. So how do I know which signals to pay attention to? Last week, Sammy came by. He did an excellent job talking about cancel out the noise. Yeah, there's a lot of noise out there, is there not? So how do we discern what is simply noise and what is the Spirit? Because noise is all around us. So here's what I would say to that. How do we discern what spirits to pay attention, or which signals to pay attention to? Two phrases that I'm sure many of you have used or you are quite familiar with. Here's the first phrase. It resonated with me. You ever used this phrase before? Maybe someone has used it. You know, why did you find that interesting? Because it resonated somewhere within me. You ever watching a movie and there's this feeling you have within you? So I saw Top Gun this week. Oh my goodness. I want to go see it again. Actually, there's a showing in here at 12:10. 12:25, I think I saw it out on the screen. So you don't even have to leave church. You can just stay here, get a ticket, and you can go watch Top Gun. But there were moments in the movie where I was just filled with this sense of euphoria. I don't know what it was, but there was something, some emotional resonance. It was resonating with him. There was something about what I was watching, what I was experiencing, and I was feeling it. It was doing something to my insides. You ever experienced that before? You're having a conversation with someone, and you kind of lean in a little bit closer because the thing that they're saying, like, ooh, this is really, there's something that they're saying, it's connecting with me in a way that I can't even put it into words. But there's something deep within me that's connecting to that which they are speaking to me in the moment. Or what about this one? It caught my eye or it caught my attention. Like, ooh, why'd you take a picture of that? Why'd you find that interesting? I don't really know. Like, these things, they transcend words. They transcend meaning sometimes. You don't really understand, but there's something fascinating, something interesting, something that made you lean in a little bit closer because it caught your attention. You were walking. Think about Moses. He was walking, burning bush. Ooh, there's something over here. I'm going to inspect that a little bit closer. And as he did, he wasn't in a rush to get to the next meeting. His calendar wasn't filled with all different appointments and places and things he had. He wasn't trying to cram as much as he possibly could into his schedule, which, I get it, that's what modern life unfortunately looks like too often. Cram as much in, get as much done as we possibly can. But Moses, he was walking a little slower. When we walk a little slower in life, when we move with a little more intention, when we discern and have the ability to say no to certain things so that we're not always saying yes, things begin to capture our attention. We see things that have always been there, but maybe we didn't notice them on the first go around. So as I look through my camera roll, I realize, well, the reason why I took all these pictures, the reason why every single picture was there was because there was something that resonated with me, something about the moment. That's why you take all the pictures that you take on your phone as well. That's why you take notes in your phone also, because there's something that came up. And you're like, oh, I want to remember that for later. Or there's something that captured your attention. You're in a museum. You see a beautiful piece of art. You're like, I love that piece of art. And you know you're not supposed to take a picture, right? Like, no photographs, but you don't care. And you're, I'm not advocating for that, okay? Just so we're clear. But there's something, or you're walking by and you see someone has graffitied the side of a bridge and you're like, that dude is an artist. I'm going to take a picture of that because there's something, there's some art there in that graffiti and it's speaking something. Or when you go to Harlem Grown this Saturday, you're going to see something there. The vegetables there are the kids that are out there. You're going to see people doing yoga, which hopefully you'll be doing yoga with them. I know F7 Adam, you'll be doing yoga right there. Yeah, you're all numbered. And you're going to take a picture because there's something about the moment. It's like the moment that the clouds part, the sun is shining down, and you just want to soak in that moment and remember it 5 years later. It's interesting, having kids, one of the things that Reese loves to do, he always asks, can I see your phone? Well, why? Because he wants to look through our photos. He wants to remember things. He asks all these questions, like, tell me stories about when I was younger. He always asks Steph, he's like, hey, tell me what it was like the first day I was born. So he wants to look through all these photos because he wants to remember. It's building his identity. Probably the same for us as well. When we look back at where we've been, it tells us who we are. So I've looked through my photo roll, my camera roll, way more than I did before kids were born. Now, I have a summer assignment for you all. Mm-hmm. So here's a summer assignment. You can keep going. Go two more. It's okay. Put your antennas up. So the summer assignment for you is you would move through the summer with intention, with slowness, with not cramming it all in. Enjoy the summer. Enjoy these moments. They will be gone quite quickly. So the assignment for you all is to put your antennas out and then to capture the signals. And maybe you don't know what the signals are saying. That's fine. That's normal. Sometimes it takes us months, years. I'm telling you, some of these photos go back a long time. Sometimes it takes years for us to understand what was being spoken years or months earlier. The only assignment is for you just to capture the things that catch your eye, the things that catch your attention, the things that resonate with you. You're having a conversation with someone and a word or a phrase, a sentence stands out to you. Write it down. So go back one slide. Here's a couple ways to capture it. You can take a photo of the moment. You can grab a journal, maybe at the end of the day. Before you go to bed at night, you just want to jot down the things that stand out to you, the memorable things that you want to remember. Ooh, there was something interesting here. I don't fully understand it, but maybe a couple of weeks or months from now, I can unpack it. Notes in your phone. I do this all the time as well. Watching a movie, there's a scene or something, and I just start taking notes in my phone. So however you best want to capture the things that catch your attention, this is your summer assignment. And so at the end of the summer, I'm going to ask, and we'll see. And you're not graded on it, don't worry. But my prayer for all of us is that we would begin to pay attention to the signals. So let me show you how I have done this. And this sermon is titled, we got to do a title first, because I love the title. Don't I have a title here? Is it After the Picture? Oh my goodness, what happened to my title? Okay, well the title is The Peacock Who Saw His Reflection, which is always a great sermon title. Hey, what did you guys learn about in church today? We learned about the peacock who saw his reflection. Now here's the photo. And I'll give you a backstory of what happened here. I was in the Bronx Zoo with Junior a couple months ago. We were walking by, going to whatever the next exhibit was the kids wanted to see. All of a sudden, kind of behind me and to the left, I heard a loud thump. I turned back, I'm like, what in the world was that? This peacock had rammed his head into the chrome bumper of that truck. Now, I wish I had captured a video of this, but by this point, it was too late. But then the peacock continued just to stare at his reflection in the bumper, just staring right into it, ready to attack again. I'm like, oh my goodness, that you don't see that every single day. There's something here. Now, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll return to the peacock in a moment. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Corinth. And here's what he says. He's writing to some of the first followers of Jesus. And he says, hey, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, we could spend a long time unpacking this verse. We could talk about the setting, the context of it. But I want to mention one thing about these couple of verses. If we go one more slide here, I want us to notice that Paul is using warfare language here in these couple of verses. What Paul is speaking, what he's saying is there is an enemy. In his language, what he's conveying is that there's an enemy, there's an opponent, and the way that you defeat the enemy or the opponent, that which is coming against you, is you take captive every thought. Where do thoughts occur? The answer is right there behind me, by the way. In your mind. In your head. You ever stop to think about during the day the things that dominate your thoughts? You ever notice the things that keep you up at night? The stories, the words, phrases, the narrative that constantly is looping back and forth in your head. There's an enemy. There's an opponent. Well, how do you defeat that? How do you fight back against that which seems to be attacking you? Will you take captive every single thought? I love Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message, of these verses. He says it this way. We'll go one more slide. I'll just read the end part, which is about taking captive. The way he translates it, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse. Those loose thoughts, they'll get you every time, will they not? Those loose emotions that cause you to lash out in wait, whoa, I didn't even realize that was in there. Like we have a phrase, a loose cannon. Fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Now, what I found really interesting going through these pictures is how interwoven all these sermons actually are, specifically these first two. So I almost see this week and next week as kind of like a two-parter here, because I'm going to unpack this idea a little bit more next week. But I just want to talk a little bit about this. And here, if we go back one slide, I had this this phrase here. What Paul essentially is saying is, your mind is a battlefield. You're waging war in your mind. Let's go two slides forward to the picture of the peacock again. Peacock, bam, bang his head, because why? He saw his reflection. He thought there was an enemy. This peacock thought there was a threat. The threat was all internal. The threat was all in his mind. So a couple of years back, maybe you remember this if you were with us, I hit a time of burnout in life. And this was right after Reese was born. And I just remember thinking, I have nothing to say. I can't get up and speak on Sunday morning because I'm completely fried. I'm so tired, I'm fatigued, and there's nothing here within me that I could even stand in front of anyone and have anything intelligible or discernible to say. I felt like I was done. And honestly, when I began feeling that way, I tried pushing on like you do, because we're tough and we're fighters and we're strong and we can't let anyone know our weaknesses and that we can't keep going. We have to put up that strong front. So I remember trying for as many weeks as I could to kind of scramble and patch a sermon together. But after a while, it just couldn't do it anymore. And I called the board and I said, hey, I got to take a couple of weeks off. And I ended up taking a little over 2 months off from speaking. And part of the reason why this happened was because I was experiencing some health problems. And so I had to focus on my own health. And the health practitioner I was working with said, hey, you know, what would do really well for you is for you to go and see a therapist and just talk through all the different things that you're feeling and these loose emotions, these loose thoughts. So I did this. I made an appointment with the therapist. And that first meeting, he's like, all right, so tell me exactly what's going on. And I just spoke for, it was like a 50-minute session. I think I spoke for 52 minutes. Till finally he's like, all right, dude, I got to go. Next meeting. I just, because there was just so much going on at this time in my life, and I didn't have a place where I could actually go and talk about it all. So there was so much happening here in my head. And I'll never forget what he said to me in that first meeting. He said, you know what it feels like? It feels like you're shadowboxing yourself. You're fighting yourself. This fatigue that you're feeling, this burnout that you're experiencing, it's because you're living all in your head. And it took me weeks, it took me months, I mean, probably even years. I'm still figuring this out. I'm still learning this. But what had happened was, for so many years, I had created in my head these expectations of who I thought others wanted me to be. You ever do this? You create a story in your head about how you think they want you and who they expect you to be. And what happens is, when you do this, you're not true to the person that you are. The unique expression of humanity that God has created you to be. You're in your head because there's this battle of the person who you desire to be, but then there's all these expectations that you've created. And so you're fighting back and forth. And typically what I've come to realize, what's happened is, you look at other people as the enemy. Well, the reason why this isn't happening is because of what they said or they did or what they expect or want from me. But then you come to realize that you're just creating this story in your head. You're your own worst enemy. A couple of weeks back, we talked about kicking against the goads. And you know, it's so funny how all these sermons just weave themselves together, because when Paul was kicking against the goads, God was saying, you're hurting yourself, you're harming yourself. And I realized at this time, and it took a period of burnout and shutting it all down, to come to realize that I was my own worst enemy. And I was living so much in my head, I was harming myself. And then honestly, I took the time off and I had no idea what you would all say, what you would all think, but you were all so gracious about it. You're like, I'm so glad that you did that. And it began breaking within me all the expectations that I had created, because I realized, well, I'm free to actually create my own life. I'm free to live into the truth that the Spirit is speaking to me. I no longer have to live to please everyone else. Because the truth is, what you want from each other, what you want for yourself as well, is that you would be true to who you are. Here's what inspires me the most. When I see other people who are true to themselves, and not trying to be someone other than who they are. People who are free in themselves to explore their own path. Not the path that she's on, the path that he's been walking, but the path that they are being led by the Spirit down. And slowly, ever so slowly, it's like all these expectations, all these stories, the narrative that I was telling myself, it began to crumble, and I realized I no longer need to live this way. I no longer need to continue fighting this internal battle. I can take captive every single thought. Now, here's a truth that I've come to learn. Let's go forward a slide. Let's go forward another one. The stories that we tell ourselves about who we are deeply, deeply matter. Here's another way of saying it. How you see yourself is shaped by the stories in your head. We can tell ourselves stories about our worthiness or our unworthiness. We can tell stories about how we're a powerless victim. And we can allow those stories to just loop in our head. And the longer we tell ourselves the story that we're a victim, the more deeply entrenched that reality becomes in our lives. Or we can flip the script and we can tell ourselves a story of we're powerful. Within us, we have a living spirit, which is what Paul is trying to tell those living in Corinth. You're a victor. You no longer need to see yourselves as victims. You are a powerful victor. You possess within you this immense power. We can tell ourselves stories that we are unlovable, that we're not worthy of love because of what happened 7 years ago or 5 years ago, because of what she said at the graduation party to us. Or we can choose to focus on the truth that we are all worthy of great love. I love Eugene Peterson, fitting it all into a structure in the light of the life of Christ. What's the story that Christ desires to speak over every single one of us? Your life holds deep value. You're all worthy of love. The infinite grace of God is always upon you. See, when we live our lives by that story, and stories that build us up and tell us how powerful and valuable we are, it changes how we see ourselves. We begin taking captive all those self-defeating stories and we squash them. We push them to the ground because we realize they are not true and they're not leading us forward into the type of people that we truly desire to be, the people that we know deep down within us that we truly are. The image of God has been implanted in every single one of us, and that image tells us you possess great strength. You're deeply connected with the Creator. You're connected with each other. And you're valuable just simply because you're alive and you're breathing. And there's nothing you need to earn. There's no work that you need to do to prove yourself, but rather grace, forgiveness, freedom, worth, and value has already been given to you. Now, I mentioned I want to talk about the hotel incident. And so how do we take our thoughts captive? Well, we need to replace those destructive stories. So let me talk a little bit about the hotel incident. A couple years back, before we started meeting in the Building of Life, we were meeting in hotel conference rooms. We did that for 7 months. It was a trying time. It was very difficult. If you were with us, you remember how it was. Maybe Friday evening, you would find out which hotel we were in. It was rough. Now, we were speaking at a hotel, or I was speaking at one of these conference rooms on a Sunday morning, and our group was here, and I noticed in the crowd, there were a couple of visitors. Never had seen them before. I had never met them. So about 10 minutes into my sermon, both these women got up and they walked out of the room. And I never saw them again. They never came back. They didn't just go to the bathroom. They left. Now, I noticed this while I was speaking, and it really, really bothered me. And I started thinking about it, right? Where's the battle? It's in your mind, is it not? I started thinking about this. Like, I went home that day, laid in bed that night. Monday morning, I woke up thinking about this. Like, oh my goodness, like, do I have anything of value to say? Do I have anything worthy to say? Like, why did these two women leave? What I was saying must not have been very good. I must have been bombing that day, or they didn't appreciate what I had to say. And it just went on and on and on in my head. Later that week, maybe the next week, I forget how long I let those thoughts rattle around in my head. I was talking to, at this time, I was seeing a professional life coach. And so I started talking with the life coach about this situation. And I said, I just can't get it out of my head. And he was a former pastor as well. And so he had experienced this before, people getting up, walking out in the middle of what you have to say. You know, you're pouring your heart into this thing. You're giving it everything. You spent all this time preparing for it. Why are people like, should I just quit my job? Should I just stop because no one else wants to come out? And he said, yes, you can tell yourself that story. You can tell yourself that what you were saying wasn't very good, that you are unworthy of their attention. Or you can look at it from a different perspective. You can tell a different story. You're meeting in hotel conference rooms. What if these two women happened to be guests at the hotel? They saw a sign saying there was a church happening here in the conference room. They said, oh, we only have a few minutes before we have to leave for our flight, but let's go check it out. They were coming maybe for 15 minutes, but they loved it so much that they stayed an extra 10 minutes and finally like, hey, we really, like, we wish we could stay, but we really, really need to go. Completely different story, is it not? I created in my head the story that spoke about my unworth. In my head, I created this story that I was no good. So how do you replace the destructive stories? You surround yourself with people who love you, with people who will take those destructive stories that you're telling yourself and say, you know what? They don't belong in your life. People who will come alongside you and replace those self-defeating stories with stories that tell about your power, your worth, your value, that you're lovable. See, if I were to put up a picture of elephants, and if I were to tell you, hey, one thing I want you to do for the next 5 minutes, do not think about elephants. How are we going to do with that one? Listen, do not think about elephants, all right? I see you in E3, Adrian, thinking about elephants. The way our minds work is we can only focus on one thing at a time. So when we're constantly in our heads about these narratives that are telling us things that are not good about ourselves, it's impossible to tell a different story. Which is why we need to surround ourselves with a community of people that will speak against those lies. That will speak against all the self-defeating stories that we have created for ourselves in our minds. All the ways in which we're shadow boxing ourselves, dancing around the ring, thinking there's an enemy, but in reality, the enemy is right here in our mind. People who will come and say, hey, there's a better story for you to live into. There's a better story for you to believe. There's a better story that can define who you are. I mean, that's how I see the Bible. Jesus coming into these stories, the Spirit speaking to these communities and saying, hey, I know this is what you've been told or this is what you believe about yourself, but that's not true. No. No, your life, the value you, if you could only see how much value and power you have with it. If you could only see how lovable you are, if you could only see that that which you are striving for, these expectations that you've created in your head, you already have everything that you desire. If you would just slow down, breathe, and create a new story. A story that God desires to speak. A story of truth. Of the grace that's upon you. So that's how the Spirit speaks. I see a picture, or I take a picture of a peacock, bang his head against a chrome bumper, and it goes all these different places. And it takes weeks to unpack it, but you realize, oh my goodness, that was me months ago, years ago, beating my head against a chrome bumper. I don't have to live that way. You don't have to live that way. You can be free, and you can live by a different story. Let me pray for us.